Today on Real Radio.
You know, Martin Luther, just before he hammered the 95 Theses to the wall, declaring really the spiritual declaration of independence, when he began to teach that salvation was taught in the Bible, given by the grace of God, and really experienced by us through faith, the Roman Catholic Church attempted to kill him because they thought that he was spreading some kind of a heresy, because works was not man-centered. And the church began to absolutely freak out over that. How dare you say that God, in one stroke in time upon the cross, could purchase salvation freely? And that's exactly what the Bible says.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We begin a new mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2:10, which is really a continuation of Paul's thought in the previous two verses. It's a wonderful proclamation that our justification and sanctification are to be credited to our Lord. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called God's Wonderful Work.
We've been studying in this great chapter and in this great book that salvation comes from God. How dare we think for a moment that salvation, such a precious, incredible thing, could come by the devices and by the workings of men? I mean, let's think straight for a minute. Think about it. We struggle in this life and we get our degrees and we get our positions and we get our places in life, and all the while struggling and crawling and scratching to get to the top, and it's fleeting. Those have made it to the top will tell you rather candidly, I think with some embarrassment though, that it's not what it all seems. I told you before, just recently, I had the opportunity to talk to men who are personally assigned to the President of the United States. And you talk about the top. That's the top, so to speak, in some, I guess, avenues in some areas. But all the things that are lacking there. And in all of the things of the world and that the world has to offer, people who get to the top, they say, you know what, this is not it. There's got to be something more to life. And the fact is, there is more to life, and it's in Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing that you and I can experience today is knowing that we have salvation in God and that it's secure. It can't be bought, paid for, worked at, or attained by any human means. We've been going through verses 8 and 9 of this book, and it is telling us that it is given freely by God's grace, that God has gifted us with His grace. So salvation comes by grace, the Bible says, through faith, and we mean, and the Bible teaches, by faith alone. If tonight you are assigning anything to your position with God other than trusting in Him, you are in fact falling from grace and are trying to establish a works-centered relationship with God, which, though He loves you, He will not accept. It's an insult to one who was so wealthy. You know, Martin Luther, just before he hammered the 95 Theses to the wall, declaring really the spiritual declaration of independence, when he began to teach that salvation was taught in the Bible, given by the grace of God, and really experienced by us through faith, the Roman Catholic Church attempted to kill him because they thought that he was spreading some kind of a heresy, because works was not man-centered. And the church began to absolutely freak out over that. How dare you say that God, in one stroke in time upon the cross, could purchase salvation freely? And that's exactly what the Bible says. Salvation is God's amazing work. You might want to jot this down. You know it so well. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, listen, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus begins our faith, and he's going to complete it. Isn't that good news? Do you have any faith tonight? Imagine this. Do you have any faith? Where'd you get it? This is exciting. I kind of had a little thing today when I thought about this. Where'd you get it? Where'd you get your... You believe in God even a little bit? Remember the woman who had the issue of blood? And she says, oh man, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made fine. She risked the pollution of the entire people around her. She was unclean. Any woman who had a vaginal issue of blood, that's where it was from. She was unclean. She couldn't get into a crowd. She had been bleeding for 12 years, anemic, weak, sickly. Can you imagine? But she had heard about Jesus, and she's going to make her way to him, the Bible says, and she's in the crowd, people are pushing and shoving, and anybody she touches, she's defiled them. But she's heard about Jesus, and she's going to get right in there, and she gets right there and grabs him by the hem of the garment, and he's being pushed around in the crowd, and he says, who touched me? And Peter, you know, come on, Lord, are you crazy? I mean, people are knocking you down. What do you mean, who touched you? Nope, somebody touched me. Virtue has gone out of me. Power has left my body. I felt it. Somebody touched me. And it was that woman. Little faith, strange faith. She believed in a superstition, really. She believed that if she touched a physician's garment, she would be made whole. And Jesus took that faith. So the kind of faith that you have this evening, what kind of faith is it? Is it a lot of faith? Is it a little bit of faith? The Bible says that God has given to us a measure of faith. Each of us differently. Some of us have more faith than others. And the wonderful thing is God has dealt to us a measure of faith. So if you are believing in Jesus Christ tonight, Jesus has given you that faith to believe in him. And he has started it. And he's going to complete it. Isn't that good news? Man, I'm excited about that. I need that on a day like this. Our last time in our study, we saw that salvation excludes all human achievement in verses 8 and 9. Why did God select Paul the Apostle? Because he was the most self-righteous, self-centered, and really, truly righteous man all around. He was doing everything right. But he was alienated from God, telling us that by works of righteousness, we can't attain to God's standard. We saw through Paul's life that salvation is excluded from human achievement. We saw also in the latter portion of verse 9 last time that salvation is eternally secure in God. We can never lose our salvation once we have it because it's a free gift given. We can't give the gift back. And the great question is tonight, are you truly saved? Do you truly know Jesus Christ? Do I believe in once saved, always saved? I believe in once saved, always saved, but you better understand what you're talking about when you say such a thing. A lot of people saying, well, he believes in once saved, always saved, or they believe in once saved. Listen, if you're born again, God performs no abortions. If you are born again, you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you may be a believer. You may believe in George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You may have a mental assent to who Jesus Christ says he is, but it doesn't guarantee you a place in heaven until you're leaning on him. It's a big difference. Those of you who are born again are saved because you've come to lean on him. And you're doing that, by the way, through faith. We saw last time that grace produces strength for us to continue on. And that's a beautiful thing because grace can be depended upon. And we saw that grace assumes that we're sinners. Isn't that amazing? We are sinners. And so God gives us grace. And so now we come to verse 10 where it says here, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're going to look at two things tonight. The first thing in the top portion of verse 10 is, what does it mean to be his workmanship? What does it all mean? Well, before we dive exactly into that, listen to this. It says right here, for we are his. And in my Bible, I've just got a parenthesis around that. For we are his. I don't need to hear anymore else, anything else for a moment here. We are his. We are his what? Well, it says we are his workmanship. Well, that's fine. I don't need to hear that. All I need to hear today is that we are His. That's all I need to hear. You need to, maybe you just need to meditate on that tonight. We're His. I don't know about you, but there's a great feeling in knowing that you're wanted. You know that? There's something, a blessing about it. Man, you're wanted. Hey, call them up, have them come over. Man, that makes you feel good. There's nothing ego about it. Everybody wants to be loved. There's a great feeling about being wanted. Many of us went through a lot of heartache and pain when we were growing up in school. And they, you know, I'll take Johnny, I'll take Billy, I'll take, you know, Joey. Oh, man, you can have Jack. You know, I feel good. I feel good. I feel good about this. I feel good. You know, it hurts. But when the Bible says that we're His, I like that. God is so good. Out from Him flows love. I tell you what, a week or so, I forget now, time is just, you know when you're getting real old? Time just, I think it was last week we were at the pastor's conference. Either that or last year, whenever it was. And time just goes, but you know, it was at Marietta Hot Springs. And if you don't know anything about it, it's a historical landmark in California. And one of the reasons why is because there's hot water coming right out of the ground. And it flows right into that lake there. And I mean, it's hot stuff. And it's great. And that water's coming out of there. And it's just day and night, never ceasing. Just kaboom. It's going. It's been doing it for who knows how long. God's grace is like that. It just keeps coming. When's it going to stop? It just comes. It just flows. It reminds me of the book of Revelation, chapter 21 or 22. The scripture says there that in heaven there will be a river of life flowing forever. And I tell you, as long as there's a sinner, as long as I'm around, God's grace is going to be flowing. So you just stick with me. And wherever there's a sinner, God's grace will be, and that's where I'll be. I had a wonderful opportunity this week. I think it was yesterday. See, that time thing's going by. And a man who's 59 years old used to ride with the Hell's Angels and the, boy, I can't remember these names, the Hessians and all these chopper gang things, you know, Harley Davidson guys. And he's given his heart to Jesus Christ. And comes walking in, and he's like, I got to talk to you. What's going on? Man, you know what? I'm thinking this, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking the other. What's going on? And as soon as he started, he was almost ready to cry. Big guy comes in, and he just starts almost, he's holding it back, you can tell. And I'm sorry, but I got the biggest smile on my face. I'm just sitting there kind of like trying to cover up my face. I'm just like shining in front of this guy while he's pouring his heart out. Brand new believer. Well, what's wrong with me? And I said, man, I want to tell you one thing, and you just get this loud and clear. Do you understand? Well, yeah, what? You are so saved. Well, how do you know? You're talking about this one side pulling against you and the other side pulling against you and these thoughts and you're fighting this and you've got a hunger for the Bible and you open up the Bible and the door's knocking and the phone's ringing and all this. And yeah, man, your heart, did you think about this 4 months ago? No. Used to make fun of Christians. I said, cheer up, pal, because now all your friends at work, they're going to be making fun of you. He goes, I don't know if I can handle that. And I said, well, you doled it out for a long time, didn't you? Yeah. I go, well, now it's your turn. But I was the bad guy in the group. And I said, all the more they'll listen to you. Just like they did with Paul the Apostle. Just like they did with Peter. God's grace. For we are His. And the beautiful thing is in Jeremiah 31:3, you've heard this before. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And that is that He has drawn you to Himself. And I don't care how big and burly you are, and I don't care who you work for or what you've done in your life. The fact is you want love. And man's love lets us down. God's love never fails us. But we see right here where it says, for we are His workmanship. The word His is a reference here to the Father. And I don't know if you're going to see this right off the bat, but the Trinity is suggested here in this passage. The first hint is right here where it says, for we are His, that is the Father's work. The Father. And the word workmanship in the English is the word that some of your Bibles, maybe you have a very old Bible, that might have a rendering of it this way. For we are His poem. For the word in the English, poem, is the Greek word poema, and it is poem, or more technically in the Greek, it is a created, a made, a manufactured artwork. We are His artwork. That's a beautiful thought. We are His artwork. Now, art is an interesting thing. Some of you have been with us to the Hermitage in Russia, one of the greatest collections of art in the world. And you're standing right there in front of a Rembrandt, and it's pretty impressive. I really didn't appreciate that kind of stuff until I saw it. And it's like, wow, man. And then you go upstairs to the Picasso section. Now look, I'm sorry, Rembrandt could paint. Picasso, I don't know. And I got to tell you, I've seen them both, and one is a lot of talent and a lot of anointing, I think, and a lot of inspiration by God. The other one, I don't know. But I tell you what, we are His workmanship, His artwork. And this is a wonderful thing about an artist. An artist is a funny kind of guy. An artist can look at something, and he looks kind of like he's going insane for a minute. He's like out in Netherland. And all of a sudden, he begins to create something. And it's not clear to you yet what he's doing. He may set up an easel, and he's starting to do something. And it's like, what is this? And people, you go down to like Laguna or Newport or Corona, Del Mar, and people are painting, you know, and you walk by, and you go, oh, look, it's a dog. And then you come back about 3 hours later, and it's a car. And you come back, you know, a couple days later, and it's the beach with a palm tree and a setting. And it's like, wow. But He had it in His mind the whole time. We are God's artwork. The Bible says that we're His. He is molding us, and He's taking paint, and He's working on the easel. But you and I are stepping back saying, how does this fit into my life? Maybe there's like an anomaly in your life. You know, anomaly, boop, a glitch. What is this? Things are going great. Whoop, up. What is that? Or maybe your life is a total glitch, and you get all you get excited when there's a, when there's not enough. You know, it's an exciting way to live. And it's like, what is this? Look, all I can tell you, if you're a Christian, it's part of the easel. It's part of the deal. Well, how can I know for sure? You know, I tell you what, I would grab this verse and put it on the dashboard of your car. Because the next time something goes wrong or things aren't going your way, you need to stop and realize for a minute that God is at work. He's got a big yellow hat on. He's got suspenders on. And he's got a hammer swinging. He's got saws going. He's working. And it looks like an insane asylum until He gets done. You look at your place and it's like, man, what is this? We bought our house in 1986. We should have left it just as it was when we got it. We're still trying to paint the eaves on this thing. And it's like, just when we get, you know what? Hey, all right. And we come back again. It's like, what is this? And like, we got to get a floor, and the floor's falling off. And it's like nuts. But God looks at something, and it's done to Him. He's going to get it done. We are His artwork. Now, the beautiful thing to me about an artist is, He's got it in His mind. I can't see it, but I trust that He's got it in His mind. I'll get a clue when you look at an artist, and he might have in front of him, sitting on a rock, a model, or maybe a vase of flowers. And it's like, I got this one. He's painting a model. He's painting this vase of flowers. I see what he's painting, now on the easel, I can put the pieces together. Jesus Christ is our model, the prototype. You are the easel. God the Father looks at the Son, looks at you and says, you need a little bit more, right about there. And I think I'm going to get some rejection, a little bit of rejection, and I'm going to put that right over here on you, and a little bit of sorrow. There'll be a little bit of sorrow because I'm molding you and making you just like my Son when He was on earth, so He and you can relate to one another, and I'm going to put a little bit more of grief. But you know what? The primary color on this whole thing is going to be joy. This deep, strong, abiding color is going to be the joy of the Lord. That's going to be the strength of this painting. And God is doing that in our lives. He's painting a picture. The things that happened to you and I today fit in to that painting. He's really doing it. He's making us into the image of His Son. You know, there was the first paint job that came along in Genesis 1:27, where it says, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Now listen, He created him both male and female. Is he confused? No, it says that He created him male and female in His own image. Well, is God a he, she? Or is she he? God says He's a he. Sorry, ladies, those of you who are upset about things like that, don't know what to tell you. God says He's a he. That's the way it is. I could care less if He says He's a he or a she. But He says He's a he. But it says that He made man in His own image. He created both male and female in His own image. Well, does that mean that man, that God has five fingers in each hand and He's 6 feet tall? Absolutely not. It means that man has a capacity to reason, to think, to choose, to sense emotion, feeling. Man has the capability to decide. Man has the capability to hate or to love or to experience sadness, sorrow, joy, or happiness. That's what it means about God making us in His own image. And Jesus Christ came revealing to us the image of the Father. But listen, He's our bridge, people. Jesus came showing us the Father, but the Bible tells us that we need to become like Jesus Christ. When we look at Him, we're looking at it all. And that's what He's working at in our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 2:10, this is actually a mini-series called God's Wonderful Work, which means that we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, remember to take advantage of our offer, Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about history's most influential figure, then take advantage of this generous offer. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.